Let's do this. Welcome to the jungle. I am Jim Rome, live in the Quicken Loans studios. Quicken Loans, you want to apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. A very good Tuesday to you. Nice to have you here. All right, let's not waste time with it. Got to get right to it because I've got an interview coming up in about 15 minutes. ESPN NBA reporter Chris Haynes joins me right out of the box. So that's coming up next segment. First segment is open, as you know, to smack off season. So I've made a habit of, for the very best phone call, I'll break this thing wide open. I will get you in the first segment if you want to be in. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Best time of year. NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, a lot of baseball going on, and some NFL too. It is the best time of the year. Chris Haynes coming up next segment. Second hour is wide open. Third hour, though, is filling up. 16-year NFL vet Dwight Freeney, top of hour number three. Former NFL running back Arian Foster in studio at 20 past hour number three. So two excellent NFLers. Coming up in the third hour. Also, it is Podcast Tuesday. Speaking of NFLer, Bruce Arians is my guest. I've already had that conversation, so I can tell you unequivocally, it is awesome. It's going to be great. I know it's going to be great because I already did it. So Bruce Arians is our podcast guest. Ep 36, going to drop a little bit later on. Again, hit me right now, 1-800-636-8686. Quickly, you know to follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. All right, I could start with LeBron. In fact, I have been starting with LeBron. Every time he plays, and especially every time he stabs Toronto in the heart, I start with LeBron. I don't want to do that today. Instead, let me talk about Philadelphia beating Boston 103-92 to stave off elimination and extend that series. And to me, that's a good thing. It's a very good thing because it means we get at least one more game of these two teams going at each other. And I'm not talking about going at each other in a basketball sense, although that has been good. I'm talking about going at each other. Now, I suppose I should do the responsible thing and actually talk about the game itself. You know, like smash your vegetables before you have your dessert. So I'll go ahead and do that. Let's get that out of the way. Let's get that game stuff out of the way. Brett Brown puts T.J. McConnell in the starting lineup, and the Sixers have a totally different look and feel, a completely different energy to them. McConnell was taking on everybody and beating them all off the dribble. He scored a career-high 19. He came through with 7 rebounds and 5 assists, and he got the crowd into it every single time he touched the ball. Not only that, but Philly played tough. Joel Embiid was banging in the paint, dropping bodies on the floor, and between McConnell's energy and Embiid's attitude, Philadelphia had enough to keep this series going. And to me personally, I could not be more hyped because extending the series means getting another game of these dudes getting chippy with it. You know, like that second quarter scuffle between Terry Rozier and Joel Embiid.
And now Rozier called for a foul on the pitch off. And Rozier and Embiid come together. Rozier threw a shot into Embiid's chest.
Thanks to TNT. I'll take another game of that. How about you? I'll take another game of that. I'll take another game of Joel dunking, then celebrating, and then having Boston's Marcus Morris drop a 3-0 hand gesture on him. You know, like, as in scoreboard. Look up at it, big fella.
Philadelphia. Joel Embiid has given a lot of yapping.
There's been some extraordinary trash talk in this one. It's not for everybody, but Joel Embiid saying, we're in your head. Marcus Morris saying, 3-0. 3-0. That went on.
Yeah, if that's not for everybody, it should be for everybody because that's awesome. Morris went 3-0 not once, not twice, but 7 times over and over again. It was great. I mean, it was great. But it's 3-1 right now, which means we do get another game of this. Another game of Joel showing up the post-game presser, wearing a shirt that reads, history will be retweeted. Another game of Joel Embiid describing that scuffle with Terry Rozier.
He kept the ball away from me and tried to punch me twice, but too bad he's so short that he couldn't get to my face. And I didn't understand why it was a double technical because I was just trying to get the ball and it was the one trying to swing. But next play, those type of plays, you just kind of like boost your energy and takes your game to another level. So I like getting into that type of stuff.
Freaking Joel. He tried to punch me twice. Too bad he's so short that he couldn't get to my face. See, that right there is why I'm not ready for this series to be over. Because I don't want to face an entire offseason without Joel Embiid pressers. Just like I'm not ready for Marcus Morris to stop getting spicy after the game.
I'm just looking forward to the garden and the atmosphere in game five.
I'm ready to go now. You know, they had a lot to say in here. They did what they supposed to do. They got one. Did what we supposed to do, and we got one. So, you know, we go back, like I said, 3-1, and hopefully we put it away.
Quote, bleep, I'm ready to go now. Bleep, I'm ready to go now, too. I mean, this series may turn out to be that classic gentleman sweep, but there is nothing gentlemanly about this series. Both teams are under each other's skin. They don't like each other, so I love it. In most situations like this, the team with a 3-1 lead is feeling pretty good, pretty mellow going into Game 5, but not here. I mean, does Marcus Smart sound mellow to you?
What do you expect the environment to be like when you guys get back home?
We're pit bulls. It's a dogfight, and we're going straight for the neck.
How confident are you, and what do you think the Garden crowd will be like?
I'm very confident. Man, what's understood don't need to be said. I think everybody in the world knows what the Garden crowd is going to be like.
We're pit bulls, and we're going straight for the neck. So the series could end tomorrow night in Boston. But this doesn't feel like the end. It feels like the beginning. This feels like the start of a rivalry that could run for years. We're only four games into their playoff rivalry, and they're already throwing punches, making short jokes, and dropping 3-0 series lead gestures. They're really good basketball teams, but they're even better trolls. Look, I never ask anybody for anything. I never ask anybody for a favor. But is it too much to ask for a favor right here? Is it too much to ask, do we get at least a game 6? I'm not even going to dream or get greedy and ask for a game 7, which would be awesome. Too beautiful, right? Right now to even imagine. But a game 6, is it too much to ask? Let's have it. I need it. The world needs it. We all need it. Let's get it to a game 6 because that game was awesome. 1-800-636-8686. So good that I couldn't even get to LeBron off the top. And I want to spare my friends in Toronto. Cleveland 128, Toronto 93, and that is exactly why I called on the league yesterday to cancel that game, because I knew that was going to happen. I knew that was going to happen, and it did. And so now if you're Toronto, exactly what do you do? This was the year it was going to be different, and in fact it was, right? They end up with the number one seed in the East. They win 59 games. This was the difference. It was different this year. Until they rolled out and they got hammered by the Cavaliers. So now what? Do you bust that team up? I mean, Dwayne Casey, is he your coach of the year or is he going to get fired? Can you find a better coach? Can you find a better team? Yeah, I understand that what they're doing is not working, but what's a better alternative? If you're the Raptors, what do you do? Cavaliers, meanwhile, are going to get all the rest they need heading into the East. These guys were dead. Dead in the water after the first round. Dead in the water, almost didn't get out of the first round. And now they're back in the conference finals, and they've got plenty of time and rest, and LeBron has never, never looked better. So we'll get into all that. Of course, today we've got to talk hockey. Two major, major developments last night. Perform? I'll tell you what that means someday. Two major developments last night. First, the Caps get over. They beat the two-time defending champs, the Pittsburgh Penguins. Right when it looked like the Caps would cap once again when they blew that game one lead, they come roaring back. They finally get it done. They get to the conference finals, and we'll get into the significance of that. And then, of course, you have Smashville. Smashville going into the peg, facing elimination. How many of you clones got in front of your box last night with a beer in your hand and couldn't wait to stab me in the heart? Could not wait to jump my bleep. Could not wait to let me know. Well, see, here's the thing. I'm bigger and better and classier than a lot of you eggs. I'm not going to make it about me. This is not about me, nor my streak, nor my prediction. This is about Philip Forsberg and what he did once again last night. I will make it about him and them and not about me. I never make it about me. But now they've got to go back to Smashville for Game 7.
Smash!
My man Tony, he said the team that scores first is going to win. And they did. You know what else? The team that doesn't score loses. Let's go to the tweets very quickly. At NJ Alberts tweets, that comment by Embiid on Rozier is smack-off worthy. Hashtag golden ticket. In that regard, he's in a class by himself. There's nobody who's got that guy's social game. There's nobody who has that guy's rap right now. And even on the floor. When he's right, nobody's better. Both on and off the floor. At Phoenix Tree Rat tweets, Van Smack, did anyone in the Philly-Boston game try to lick anyone? Amateurs, sign Brad M in B-Town. We covered that yesterday, but if you want to reset that, we can. Brad M cannot go around licking the opposition. He did it once. The league was unhappy. He did it again. The league warned him, and now he's still not apologizing for it, showing no contrition whatsoever. I'm going to be straight with you, clones. I know you want this topic, and my feeling was I was not going to go there. I'm well aware of Tom Brady showing up at the Met Gala the way he did. And so are a lot of you. And Mac Destin tweets, just when I thought Tom Brady was almost cool, after chugging that beer, he, well, just look at the pictures from the Met. Well, I've seen him, Mac. We've all seen him. Anybody with a Wi-Fi connection has seen the pictures. Troy Schultz tweets, TB12, I defended you many times over the past 15 years, dumping a pregnant model, screaming at teammates, Deflategate. But one more turtleneck is the end of the line, bud. Troy, still the guy's even in the game still? You still not swore this guy off? You're going to give him another chance? Get ready to get disappointed. He says, one more turtleneck. Bruce Arians is my guest on Ep 36. I'll have a preview of that later on. And even if you do not tune into the podcast for my interviews, but rather to hear yourselves on the call-in line, I've got a taste of that too. Dwight Freeney in the third hour. Arian Foster in studio in hour number three. Chris Haynes coming up in a couple of minutes. Getting maximum performance out of anything depends on what you put into it. So if you want to achieve maximum performance at work, you know you put in the extra effort. When you want maximum performance from your kids, you put in the extra time and use all your tools. And when you want maximum performance from your car, you put in Castrol Edge, the titanium strong motor oil. Modern engines are smaller. They're more powerful. They operate at higher pressures than ever before. Therefore, higher engine pressure means there's significant stress on the oil, which means the oil needs to be strong, and it has to stay strong. That's where Castrol Edge comes in. Castrol Edge is formulated with fluid titanium technology to help reduce friction and maximize engine performance. Castrol Edge is 3 times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. That according to Kurt Orban. He ran a test in the 5W30 Visgrade. So go ahead and put Castrol Edge in your car today. It's in all of our vehicles. Castrol Edge.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Once again, coming up in hour number three, I've got Arian Foster right here in studio. Dwight Freeney also joining us. Second hour is wide open, but hour number one, we're talking NBA. We're joined right now by an NBA reporter for ESPN, the pride of Fresno, California. Chris Haynes joins me. Chris, good morning. What's up? How are you?
Jim, I'm doing fine, man. Thanks for having me. Likewise.
Always good to have you, Chris. Thank you. Why don't we start with the Warriors and Pelicans. Take me back to Game 3. It's a good place to start. That's where the Pelicans smashed Golden State by 19, Chris. What happened to Golden State in that game?
You know what? That was a game where, you know, going into that game, players were talking amongst themselves and talking about not being complacent, making sure they handle business. They really wanted to sweep this series. You know, that was the main focus. And, you know, they were talking about days leading up to that game three bout about how we got to stay the course. Let's not let distractions get in the way. And at that point, you know, remember the Charles Barkley escapade with Draymond Green? That was going on. And then Kevin Durant, he had got into it with DeMarcus Cousins during the regular season. So the team was kind of expecting there to be some antics probably by some fans leading up to that game. And so they were really, like, I, we thought they were going to be focused, but that was the talk. That was the main point of emphasis going into that game, and they just laid one and gave New Orleans life. But it was really a bizarre scene for a team who put so much emphasis on going into that game and trying to get it over with as quick as possible. To see them, you know, fall flat like that was definitely a disappointing scene.
ESPN's Chris Haynes joining us. Well, Draymond Green did not take that well. We know he was really bothered by that performance. He had a hard time getting to sleep. Having spent some time around Draymond, what do you think he was like the night after that game? I mean, is he pacing around? Is he watching film? Or is he just ready to snap?
Yeah, I mean, he wanted to leave the arena pretty quickly after that game. You know, he told me, look, he said he couldn't sleep that night. He just stayed up watching film and, you know, he got so irritated, you know, by looking at Kevin Durant, you know, just he just felt like there wasn't any life within him in that game. And at 4 a.m, he sent them he described it to me as a long-ass text message to Kevin Durant, basically being critical of him, saying, you didn't do this, you didn't do that, but also encouraging him, saying, hey, I know you can do more. We need you to do more. You were brought here to do more. And Kevin Durant, hours later, once he received the text message about 9 a.m, he responded simply by, I got you. And then we know the rest is history. He goes for 38 points, and they get a big blowout win to go up 3-1. But, no, to your point about Draymond, Jim, that guy right there is the heart and soul of that team, man. He's the glue. He's the motivator. You know, he's the coach. He's the player coach, per se. He's really an integral part of that team, man. A lot of things that he does, you know, on the court or even behind the scenes, you know, a lot of people he doesn't get the recognition for it. But he's definitely the glue piece that pretty much keeps that thing all together.
We're talking to Chris Haynes. I was actually going to ask you who is the spiritual leader, but that would answer that. Now, Durant admitted that he was not as aggressive as he needed to be in Game 3, but that all changed in Game 4 when he had the 38 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists. Chris, when he's locked in like that, how impossible is this team to defend?
No, I mean, that's the Kevin Durant of the NBA Finals. When he's like that, when he's being aggressive, from start to finish, you know, you can make a claim that, you know, it's arguably him and LeBron James is the best in the league. It's just sometimes in some games he gets lackadaisical. Like, the game comes too easy. I mean, he is 7 foot. And when he wants to shoot, he can shoot. Nobody's going to stop him from doing that. And so I would think probably the game gets a little bored to him sometimes. And I'll bring that up to Kevin Durant sometimes. I'm like, man, like, you just going through the motions. And he'll snap at me. What you mean going through the motions? I'm in the NBA. You know, I don't go through the motions. And, you know, he doesn't – when I tell him things like that, like, sometimes he takes it as a slight. I'm like, law, I'm not saying that by any stretch. I'm just reiterating what it looks like to us. We know how easy the game can be to you. You know, at some times, and, you know, I can see why I may get bored. Yeah, but he admitted to me in Game 3, he was like, yeah, I wasn't aggressive. He said that wasn't me. And so he said it was good for Draymond to call me out like that, and I want to make sure I keep this flow going. Now, the problem, Jim, is when KD's aggressive like that, like when they're looking for him to be the focal point of the offense, that's when sometimes other players start to struggle or they start to think things through. This offense is created to have, like, heavy ball movement. Like, everybody, if it's open shot, anybody and everybody can shoot. But when you're zeroing in on Kevin Durant, which they have to do sometimes, that's when other guys tend to struggle. And so I think that's the balance Kevin Durant has had to face, you know, since joining the Warriors. He wants to find that balance of being aggressive, but he doesn't want to take everybody else out the game. And I think that's one thing that we'll probably still continue to see as the postseason moves on.
ESPN's Chris Haynes, my guest. All right, Chris, so what do you see in Steph Curry? He's had 28, 19, and 23 points in his three games back from injury. How has he looked to you so far?
He's still trying to find his footing. You know, he says his win is good. He said that's not an issue at all. You know, he's still a step or two behind what we're accustomed to seeing from a speed standpoint. His shooting picked up in Game 4. You know, he got some rhythm down at the stretch of that game. Steve Kerr actually kept him in the latter parts of that game while it was a blowout to help him try to find a rhythm. It's going to be a while. You know, he was out 5 weeks with that injury. And, you know, he can shoot. That's always going to be there. The problem is, you know, having the speed or the acceleration to get open when you're coming off those screens. And that's what he has to get back to. But I think, look, there could have been a point where the Warriors could have held Steph out for longer, you know, because that was a thought within the organization. Let's keep him out longer. But as we all know, it looked like they're on a collision course to meet up with the Rockets. So the thinking was, okay, we don't want to keep him out too long, even though he might quite not be ready. We don't want to keep him out too long. We want him to find a rhythm going into that Rockets series, because I think most people kind of believe right now that's going to be the real NBA Finals matchup.
Chris Haynes, my guest for a few more moments. All right, to that point, I don't really want to skip over Game 5 tonight and go right to that series. Yes, I do. In fact, that's exactly what I'll do. Everything, Chris, that Houston has done has been with Golden State in mind. So how do you think Golden State views the Rockets?
They viewed them as a threat, but they respect them, but they're not looking at them like that's the rival. Like they really downplayed the Rockets all season long, and I think people, you know, players in the Warriors organization found and personnel kind of found some of the narrative or the comments coming from the Rockets kind of comical. You know, you know the GM came out earlier in the year and said, hey, we're aiming to beat the Golden State Warriors. And, you know, they tried to make a run at Iguodala in free agency. They were trying to pluck, you know, key pieces from the Warriors to try to weaken them. And, you know, the Warriors, they found it comical. That's simply put. That's how they viewed it. They really feel like when it's time to play, when it's time to get ready, that they'll put it on them. Now, I'm looking forward to that series because I really do think Houston's legit. I still will take Golden State in a 7-game series, but I'm intrigued. I remember I told you the story before. You know, during the regular season, the Rockets beat Golden State. I went up to Draymond and KD, and I said, hey man, like they're gonna, you know, really give y'all problems, and you know they essentially almost cussed me out. They're like, dude, don't look at what they're doing in the regular season. You know, we're not game planning for them like we would game plan for them in the postseason. So it'll be interesting because I was told there'll be some different matchups they're going to go with, and potentially a different start lineup that they'll go with that they've been aiming for when they face Houston. So I'm looking forward to it.
I think we're all looking forward to that. That's the one we all want to see. Now, I know you're focused on Golden State, but previously you were a Cavaliers beat writer, so you've seen LeBron up close for a long time. What do you think when you see him playing the way he is right now?
15 years in, you could arguably make the case that he's better than he's ever been. And I've never counted. Like, I was, you know, I was talking to, you know, other players around the league about Cleveland, what you think about them. They're like, oh, they're going out. Indiana's going to take care of them when Indiana was up. Toronto is going to be ready for them. Toronto is a different team. And I always held steadfast to the fact that, man, as long as LeBron is playing like this, I don't care who's on his team. I'm especially in the Eastern Conference, I'm going with LeBron. And it's proven that. And it's really disappointing, Jim. I know that this is not about LeBron, but Toronto, man. It's the same team. It's the same exact team. They build up all this hype during the regular season. We think it's a new squad. We think they've turned the corner. And then when they get LeBron, you know, they flounder once again. And I don't know what's going to, you know, I don't know what's going to have to happen, if it's going to be personnel changes, coach change, whatever. But if there was ever a year to knock off a LeBron James Cleveland Cavaliers squad, it was this year. So if Toronto can't get it done this year and get swept, man, I don't know what's in store for them, man. But it just shows you the brilliance and the dominance of LeBron James that I can't, especially in the Eastern Conference, I just can't go against him.
Chris, it's so true. It is disappointing. And I got to admit, I was one of those people who thought this year would be different. They win 59. They wrap up the number one seed. They look like a different team. They're getting it done. And then the same thing happens in the postseason. I mean, so what should they change out? Or do they change nothing at all and just hope that LeBron goes to the Western Conference?
I mean, I guess they can do that. You know, that's probably their best chance of advancing. But, you know, Jim, I knew – remember a couple years ago, I don't know if you remember this when I was covering the Cavaliers, Cleveland was up during the series with the Raptors, and Kyle Lowry was struggling. And he was struggling so bad that I couldn't believe Tyronn Lue actually divulged this information to us during the pregame presser. But Ty Lue said, yeah, you know, Kyle Lowry called me and asked me if I could help him work out. You know, work him out. During the series, Jim.
Yeah, right.
During the series, the opposing team's best player is calling, and they have a relationship. They're close, Lowry and Lue. But that's still no excuse. The other team's best player is calling the head coach of the team he's going against to ask him if he can work him out.
It's like the weirdest thing ever.
Well, I've never even heard of that before. Like, and so I knew at that point, that Toronto squad, that's just a different team. That's a different makeup. Like, I don't know if they have it, like, Jim, to really get past their demons and eventually advance to the finals, because that is unheard of. And I was kind of shocked that Tyronn Lue with the Roses. Nobody knew about that.
Yeah.
Tyronn Lue came out forthcoming and gave that. And so that tells me a lot about that team. And, you know, they can't wait to hope that LeBron moves west. But if he doesn't, then what? What they're going to do? I think some changes need to be made.
Well, if he doesn't, the same thing's going to keep happening over and over and over again, because if it happened again this year, it's going to happen again. I mean, to lose the way they did in four straight, to have a couple of games that they could have won, should have won, and lost, and only to get beaten down in the other two games, I mean, something does not work there. He is the pride of Fresno, Cali, an NBA reporter for ESPN, my man Chris Haynes. Chris, nice job. Always good to have you here in the jungle. Appreciate you very much. Thank you.
Jim, thanks for having me, man. Take care.
Good job, man. Thank you very much. Chris Haynes, that is a weird story. For those of you who have not heard that story, that's a weird story. And in terms of why would Ty Lue tell that story? Because it made them look bad. I mean, I love Kyle Lowry. I think the guy's got a lot of heart, a lot of grit. Not a good game last night, by the way. But a tough, tough guy. Tough, tough competitor. But that is a weird story. Like, the guy was so jacked up mentally and emotionally, and his confidence was shot. Like, hey, coach, can you help me out? Hey, wait, we're playing you right now. No, I can't work you out. I can't help you out right now. Why don't you go to your coaching staff? I don't know. I like Toronto a lot. I like the Raptors a lot. I really thought this year was going to be different. The way the East was setting up, the Cavaliers had trouble all year long. They made that huge midseason trade. The pieces were not coming together that well. If ever there was a time when they were vulnerable, it was this year. Then you've got the Celtics. They're busted up as well. Toronto at the top seed. And then not only do they not get out of the second round, but they get swept in the second round. And it was LeBron who did it again. So, in one instance, you're about to give Dwayne Casey the Coach of the Year award, and now there's talk that maybe he might get fired. But then again, what do you do? It keeps happening over and over and over again. Do you just hope that LeBron leaves the conference, or do you rebuild that thing? Bust it up and rebuild it. I want to get into all of that a little bit later on, but first, a timeout. Timeout for a sports update, of course. Now is the time to call, because I've got two more interviews, but not until hour number three. Get in here now. If you don't like what I'm talking about, find another topic. Talk about whatever you want. Hit us up, 1-800-636-8686. In terms of that sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
We are backloading back-to-back interviews in hour number three. It's going to be tough to get through. If you're calling then, now is the best time to call. Best opportunity, 1-800-636-8686. Quick programming note, I want to give a special shout-out to a brand-new Jungle affiliate, 620 The Ticket. What's cracking? Raleigh, North Carolina. How y'all living? It is awesome to have you in the mix. I am pumped to have you here. Always great to add a new affiliate, especially in a great, great market like that. I loved adding the simulcast. I loved adding SiriusXM. I love adding streaming platforms. But this particular program was born on terrestrial affiliates. They'll always be the backbone of the jungle. So, quick shout out, 620 The Ticket in Raleigh. It is great to have you here. Let's get it. You may know the program. If you do, jump in. You know how it's done. If you do not know the program and the program is new to you, you might have to give it a little bit of time. I mean, as long as I've done this, I always had a disclaimer. If you've never heard the program and you're not sure what you're listening to, and this is not nearly as evident now as it was back then, because back in the day, there was nothing like this. And then after I did this for a while, there were a lot of imitators, a lot of people coming at it. So it's not as extreme as when it first dropped. But if you're new to it, there is a learning curve. There is a certain kind of period that it's a honeymoon period. give the show a little bit of time. Give it a couple of weeks, and then you'll have a better idea where I'm coming from, the types of interviews I conduct, where the listeners are coming from, how they interact. It's an acquired taste, right? Now, you might say after 1 week, dude, I gave that show a chance. I gave you a chance. Man, your show sucks. You're terrible, and so is your show. And I'll say, I get that. I understand that. A lot of people think so. But then they give it another week, and they say, you know what? Now I get it. Now I see where you're coming from.
2 weeks.
If after 2 weeks you say, I gave it a shot, Rome, I listened to you for 2 weeks, and you know what? It's not getting any better. You're not getting any smarter. The interviews aren't getting any better, and your takes aren't improving either. Then I will be man enough to say, you know what? The show's not for everybody. You need another week. And then we go from there. Brand new affiliate, Raleigh. I'm pumped up. All right, something about this show, too. We talk hockey. Not just during the postseason, but especially in the postseason. Nashville wins last night. They beat back Winnipeg 4-0. That brings the series back for a game 7. Now, I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking, that I'm going to come in here and say, I told you so. How you like me now? That was never in doubt. That PK Subban and Jim Rome were on the same page, and there was no way Nashville would lose game 6, and that my prediction still holds true. I know you think that I'm going to say that, but I'm not. And the reason I'm not is nobody likes that guy. And this take is not about me. The show is not about me. The take is not about me. This take is about Philip Forsberg. No, check that. Carl Philip Anton Forsberg. Now, I'm not just going government. I am going full-blown four-name government because he earned it last night. Why don't we start with this play to set the stage? 1-0, second period. Forsberg blocks a shot, snaps his stick in the process, races over to the bench for a new stick, and then this happened.
The puck is shot down the side. Forsberg now with a new stick coming off the bench. Forsberg in front, he scores! Philip Forsberg, what a play! He breaks his stick, goes to the bench, picks up a replacement, comes in and scores, and the Predators take a 2-0 lead at 8:16 of the second.
Preds Radio, that is sweet. This guy gets a new stick from the bench. Not much of an angle at all. He's falling down and still buries it. Still scores. Still buries it into the net and celebrates on his back. Degree of difficulty, I'm going to say about a 9.5. That ridiculous. And yet Forsberg, because it's Forsberg, he makes it look easy. So, so easy. Anybody else scoring a goal like that on the road in an elimination game, and that's the highlight of a lifetime. But for Forsberg, that's not even the highlight of that given night. Because as nice as that was, it was nothing compared to his second goal. So let's go to the third period. Nashville up 2-0. Looking for a third to make things a little bit more comfortable. Go ahead and roll it.
Subban at the right point. Feeds Johansson to the right half wall to the corner. Arvidsson, Johansson wheeling toward the front of the net. Puck comes back to the left point and Roman Josi. His shot deflected wide. Arvidsson trying to feed it front for Forsberg. He goes behind the back through the legs. And Forsberg gives the Predators a 3-0 lead. That was vintage Philip Forsberg.
Hey, do me a favor. Go ahead and roll that one more time because I still can't believe that I saw what I just saw.
Puck comes back to the left point and Roman Josi. His shot deflected wide. Arvidsson trying to feed it front for Forsberg. He goes behind the back through the legs. And Forsberg gives the Predators a 3-0 lead. That was vintage Philip Forsberg.
Have you seen this? Have you seen that yet? Forsberg is dirty. This guy is filthy. Between the legs in an elimination game on the road. With one sick flick. He silenced the loudest arena in that league, took all the air out of that building. But if you're surprised, you should not be. After all, this is the same guy who burned Colorado in the first round with this between-the-legs goal.
Here's Forsberg across the line, tries to stick Kendall there and got the shot. He scored! What a spectacular goal! Philip Forsberg turned it inside out. It's 4-2 Nashville.
So at that time, I thought that goal was good enough to cancel the rest of the postseason. That after seeing that, there was no reason to watch hockey for the rest of the year because nothing would top that. But I was wrong. Because if Gary Bettman had taken my suggestion, we would have missed out on both of those goals last night. I mean, I'm not sure which goal was better, between the legs on the move or between the legs standing still. But I know this, They're both incredible. And the fact that there's even a discussion is absurd. This guy has scored the goal of a lifetime at least three different times in these playoffs alone, and we're not even out of the second round yet. But don't worry, don't take my word for it. Ask Pecorine. Quote, I feel like those two series that already Forsberg has at least three or four really unbelievable goals, and it's hard to pick. I'm just a fan when I watch him play. End quote. Right, you and me both. You and me both. You think that his teammates and his coaches, the guys who are around him every single day, would at least be used to it? But even they're stunned. Ask PK Subban. Quote, he pulls off certain moves out there that only a handful of guys can pull off in this league. It's a playoff game, and he's doing huge things like that. End of quote. It's so true. It's not just the skill necessary to pull something like that off. It's the stones that it takes to attempt it, even attempt it in the first place, on that stage, in an elimination game. Preds coach Peter Laviolette said, quote, I don't think there's any question that Phil's a big game player. The second goal was just good work by their line, but he had to finish it off. Let's be honest. None of us in this room can make that play. You've got to give him a lot of credit. End quote. None of us in this room can make that play. How many people on the planet can make that play? I'm guessing that list is short. Very, very short. Like maybe one guy. And not only how many guys can make that play, but how many guys can make that play in that situation and make it look that easy. So, Philip, the man himself, what do you have to say for yourself? Quote, to be honest with you, it is the most fun that you can have. You can never have more fun than playing these elimination games in Stanley Cup playoffs and just try to enjoy it as much as possible. End quote. So, is there a cooler cat in the game right now than this guy? He scores two of the most insane goals in an elimination game, and everybody in the building and his own dressing room are shocked. And his reaction is, yeah, it's pretty cool. It's fun, I guess. Yes, Philip, it is fun. It's a hell of a lot of fun. It's the most fun ever. And it's completely and utterly insane. But it's fun. Guy did it again. I'm watching that game last night like, damn, are you kidding me? He just did it again.
That was vintage Philip Forsberg.
And when they had to have it most. When they had to have it most. And now that thing goes back to Smashville. But no, it's not about me. And it's not about me saying, I told you so. Not about me saying, I knew this would happen.
I love when you talk hockey.
You got it. But it is about this. It's about me saying, I'm not surprised by that. Even by that guy. He'd already done it. In fact, I'll be surprised if he doesn't do something like that again before the end of the postseason. I'll be surprised if he doesn't do something like that again before the end of this series. And the Peg, well, you had your shot to finish them. You had your shot last night. Probably don't want to let those guys breathe. 1-800-636-8686. I'm thinking about a phone call right here. I'm thinking about it. Thinking about it. I've thought about it. I'm not crazy about what I see. Somebody else call. And no offense to those of you who are on hold. And whenever somebody says no offense, somebody's about to get offended. So if you're on hold, you're probably offended. And I wouldn't talk you off that. You probably should be. Meantime, got some reaction to a few things. Starting with the new affiliate. Nicholas Todriff tweets, I gave the jungle some time 3 years ago, and it has been one of the best time investments of my life. New listeners, loosen up and enjoy the jungle. Hashtag jungle loyalty. Hey, Nick, that's nice. I thought you were going to crack the new affiliate. Jeff from the 919 tweets, hell yeah, welcome to the jungle, you fossils. On AM FM from the 919, hashtag 919. Hashtag Raleigh NC. Raleigh on Raleigh crime. Raleigh is a great town. I'm pumped to be back. Welcome to the jungle, y'all. Let's see. This is from Simon. Romy, wait. Was the old gunslinger at the hockey game? I heard, woo! I heard the same thing. That's funny. I'll
Forsberg now with a new stick coming off the bench. Forsberg in front. He scores. Philip Forsberg. What a play. He breaks his stick, goes to the bench, picks up a replacement, comes in and scores, and the Predators take a 2-0 lead at 8:16.
That's either Forsberg on his back. That's how quiet that barn was when he did that. That's either Forsberg on his back or somebody let the old gunslinger in. JC in Calgary tweets, I told PK I'd do that. Woo! Signed, Philip Forsberg. I had no idea that Favre was such a hockey fan. Much less a fan of the Preds. Second hour is wide open. Let's get some. You have your telephone number. Use it. You know where to find me on Twitter. Use that. Or just shoot me an email. We're coming right back.